You would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I'd like to read some verses, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, reading from verse 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and of his sons with the officers, and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood upon his feet, and he said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." Verse 5. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he is constant to do my commandments and mine ordinances as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. Chapter 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Verse 6. Then the heads of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, with the rulers of the king's work, they offered willingly. Verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And finally, verse 19, he says, And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. I'm sorry, verse 23, And Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David, his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him, and all the princes and the mighty men, and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been seen on any king before him in Israel. Verse 28, David died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honor. Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David the king, first and last. Behold, they are written in the book of Samuel, the seer, in the book of Nathan, the prophet, in the book of Gad, the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him and over Israel and over all the kingdoms of the country. I'd like to just begin with the latter part of what we've read. And I don't know about you, but you know, when we have the very word of God before us, it has a impact. It must have an impact upon the heart. Even the very reading of the word of God. The very last few verses of the 29th chapter of Chronicles points out to us that this man David, the beloved, that we had been focusing on in the last session, that he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And you know, I want us to just reflect upon this for a moment, that the God of heaven records the acts of his people, that God makes note of the lives that we live. He makes notes. He has records. God has documents. He might, in our present day vernacular, as we say, he has storage capacity, and he takes record of the lives of the people of God. You know, Brother John pointed out earlier that this dear servant, that he had his weaknesses. But you know, I believe in these few verses here at the end of Chronicles, that the Spirit of God wants to bring before us that there was a man, this King David, who was the beloved of God, who had a heart like after the heart of God, that he was a servant that God delighted in. And that at the end of his life, being full on in good old age, he had lived a life of quality. He had lived a life of quantity. There was old age. It says that he died full of days, riches, and honor. You know, young people, I would like to implore you that while you might be a teenager, perhaps you're a young adult in your early 20s or 30s, that you would have a spiritual desire that at the end of your life, that if there were to be a book written that would be left here for another generation, that it could be said of you and of me that we died in good old age, full of days, riches, not just material riches, but having spiritual riches, having gained much spiritually in this life, having honor, not just a name, a king, or having a title in the places that we work, but to have honor of the Lord himself and to have honor amongst the people of God. In the 28th chapter, we began with David assembling all the princes of Israel. David had come to realize that his days were numbered, that he had lived a full life. And he wanted to express in the company of all those who were the leadership and all Israel that David had a desire in his heart from many years ago. David's desire was to build a place for God's habitation. And he said, I had this desire. And it was that there might be a place for the rest of the Ark of the Covenant of God. And as we know, the Ark of the Covenant was this box that contained the broken tablets. It had the Aaron's rod that budded. It had the manna in the box. It had the cherubims that were there. And it was this testimony that led the people of God through the wilderness. And David's desire was that the testimony would come to rest, that there would be a place, that the mind of God, because it was there that God communicated his mind with his people, that it might have a resting place. And it says that this place that he had a desire to build, that it would be for the footstool of God. You know, young people, as we think about God and the desire that David had in his heart, I want to whet our appetites. I want to stir our spirits to see if we might develop in our own hearts a similar desire that God would be in our midst. But we learned earlier, and we know this, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, for where the twos or threes are gathered unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we know from Ephesians that the assembly is the habitation of God through the Spirit. And that the Spirit of God has taken a place of dwelling amongst the people of God. But I'd like us to look at this in a sense that there might be a place that God would have residence, a place to dwell even in our hearts. And so David said, listen, this has been my desire. He said, but you know, God had a different plan. God said, you know, David, you have been a man of war. You have been a man that has shed much blood. And while you have this noble desire, David, and while you have been faithful overall as king in Israel, it is not for you to build this house. And you know, sometimes we have a desire before God, and we want to do a particular thing, and maybe someone else has gone before us, or things don't line up, and we become discouraged, and you say, I don't want to have anything to do with that. But you know what David says? He says in the end of verse 2, I've made ready for the building. David had prepared and he had gathered all of the necessary elements for the building of the temple where the ark would rest and where would be the footstool of God. And he says, I want to tell you this. Solomon has been chosen of God to build the temple. You know, we had heard of David's failure earlier. And you know, sometimes what the enemy does, and this is all the time with the enemy, he has a desire that even when we fail, that it's going to ruin us. But it's only God that can take something that we have failed in and bring something good out of it. For Solomon was the offspring of David's failure. But God had chosen Solomon. And God had chosen this young man that he would be the one that would build the temple. That it would be a place of testimony for God. That he had a job for Solomon to do. And David, the father, full of age. And you know, I don't know, there are many fathers here. I'm a father. I don't know sometimes if God would give us such a wonderful opportunity to be able to pass on to the next generation things in the manner in which David is doing here. To see David the king. It says that though he was full of age, that David stood on his feet. That he was going to present to the princes, the leaders of Israel, all of the congregation, divine things. He was going to pass on to the next generation, even Solomon, one of the most important things of Solomon's charge. Or to carry out the desire that he had in his own heart to build a place for God. You know, young people, God has given into the hands of those of us who are a little bit older, the responsibility to maintain things for God today. But he is training young people so that you might be prepared in the day when we are full of age, when God is preparing to take us to be with himself, that you might be able to stretch your hand forward to ours and we might be able to pass the baton to you, that you might carry on things for God in this scene. Yes, it is frightening sometimes. Yes, we are not sufficient for these things. But it is comforting to know that David could say, "For the Lord hath given me many sons, but he hath chosen Solomon. He has chosen my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." You see, the throne really wasn't Solomon's. It's God's throne. You know, sometimes in the assembly, there are things that happen. And you know, we might get ourselves a little worked up over things. And we might say, you know, I have the Lord's honor at stake. I'm interested that things will go on. But I want to tell you, God has more interest in the assembly, in the church of God, in the meeting than we do. You know why? Because he gave his son for it. And the Lord who loved the church and gave himself for her. Oh, and that he is by his word washing and cleansing us so that he might in that day present us to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He has more interest or greater interest in these things than we do. It is his. And he is going to make sure that things go on until he comes for his honor and his glory. It is for us, young people, to be prepared, to be in a place where we are ready to receive the things of God that are going to be passed on to us. I want to encourage you, young men, that as you come to the meetings, that you are ready to meet the Lord. I want to encourage you, young men, that in your own private studies and readings and meditation, that your heart be fixed upon the Lord Jesus, that you have a desire to meet around the Lord, that you have a desire to learn of his blessed ways, that you have a desire to grow up into maturity. You know, they say that in the world today, that the great deficit in the world is amongst young men. That for some reason, young men today are unable, unwilling, afraid of taking up leadership and responsibility. I want to tell you that this is what God has given into the hands of young men, to be leaders. For young brothers to be able to take up their places and to be helps in the local assembly. To be occupied with Christ during the week. So that as we come together on the first day of the week to remember the Lord and to give thanks, that there might be a note of thanksgiving and praise in our hearts that we bring. That there might be some songs that we have and hymns that we have been singing and are occupied with throughout the week. So that as I come together, I'm not sitting there saying, what can I find here to throw out? Because God doesn't want you to throw out something that you've just conjured up. He wants the reality of the relationship in your heart, in your life on a daily basis. And young sisters, God wants the same from you. He wants a heart that is occupied with his things. He wants a heart that is meditating upon him during the week. You know, we speak of all of the electronic benefits of the day. We speak of all the ease of technology. We speak of having Bibles on our iPhones. We speak of having the access of having songs and hymns in our iPods and iPads and iPhones. But you know what I notice? We are less spiritual with all of these things. Because you know what? We aren't really reading all these things on our iPods. We aren't occupied with the things of Christ. We are flipping and technology has us confused. Let us get back to the book. Let us carry it in our hands. Let us carry it in our hearts, young sisters. Because you're going to grow up to be mothers and wives and sisters in a meeting. and assemblies need godly young sisters to help godly young men maintain things for Christ. So here was David. It has been given into Solomon's hands. And he says in the 29th chapter, he said, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen. He says, he is yet young, and he is tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. You know, young people, I know that this is the perspective of a mature man. This is a man who has sat upon the throne of God. He is the one that has been chosen of God, the beloved, the one whose heart was like that of the heart of God. He has sat upon this throne over Israel. He has seen much. And at the end of his life, he could look at his son and he could say, you know, Solomon is young. He is tender. He is inexperienced. He has a heart that has not yet experienced so much in this world. But he says, it is God alone who has chosen Solomon. Oh, you know, I don't think that David ever, when he was in the wrong place from the top, when his eyes were seeing the wrong things, when his failure caused him to put into motion the wrong plan for the wrong results, I can tell you that David never thought that the offspring of that would be the one who God alone chose. You know, God is not like men. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And you know, I want to say this, and the reason why I'm pointing to this specifically is that, you know, some of us have been privileged to grow up in a Christian home. I thank God that I was born in a Christian home. There were certain things, many things, that I was shielded from, because from the time I came from the womb, the word of God was heard, it was sung, it was emphasized, it was placed before myself and my siblings. But you know, God has brought many in who have not come up in Christian homes. And sometimes we may give the impression that just because I've come up in a Christian home, that I have a greater platform or that I am better than you are. You see, it is God alone who chooses. Brother John spoke earlier of the sovereignty of God. How God delights in his own right and way and will to choose and to bring in and to draw to himself those for whom he has marked out. And God, young person, has chosen you alone for service to him. But that service must be connected to the heart first for God. But it all begins when you are young and when you are tender. The Apostle Paul would say to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. But he would also say to Timothy, but be thou an example of the believer. You see, young people, we want to have the respect of our parents. We want to have the respect of the brothers and the sisters. Well, you know, the respect comes when we are following the word of God. When we are living the way in which God would have us to live out our lives here. When we are not living these dual identity lives, having, you know, this is the way I look on a Sunday, and this is how I am during the week. Oh, don't let me, Brother Tony, don't pick up my iPod. Don't look at my list of songs. Oh, no, don't check the history on my internet, you know, the address thing. I can't let you. God wants us to live godly lives. And he prepares us, young people, when we're young and tender, to serve him. It says here that David knew Solomon needed support. And it was the heads of the tribes. And I want to say this again to those of us who are older. We must lead by example. We cannot tell the young people that it is worth it to serve God, and they see all of my energies going in that direction. We cannot say to them that the Lord is precious, that there is no one like the Lord Jesus, that the God of all heaven, that He is good to me. And then, you know, I don't have a hymn. I don't have a note of praise. I don't have a prayer ever in the meeting. It is not good for us to say, that's the way you should go. And you know, the only thing that they hear me talk about is stocks and bonds and real estate and building bigger barns and getting greater things. Because then I tell my children, and then I tell the young people, that my trust is in this world. It is not good, young leaders, those who are older, for us to say, serving Christ, give me Jesus, take everything else away, and then they see that Christ doesn't mean much to me. It says here in verse 6 of chapter 29, then the heads of the fathers, the princes of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands and of hundreds, and with the rulers of the king's work, they offered willingly. Beloved leaders, those who are older, older sisters, there has to be a willing offer to the Lord and to His things. You know, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 3, he challenges believers as to the things of this world versus the things of Christ. He challenges us as to our own things because man wants to be occupied with his own things. And he gives us the contrast by saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The one who had it all. We read in 1 Corinthians that he, though being rich for our sakes, divested himself of all of that richness, of all of his external glory, and he found himself fashioned as a man so that through his poverty we might be enriched. We need to be able to offer willingly. Offer of our time, offer our substance, offer our energy, offer the intellect and the skills that we have so that the young people who are young and tender like Solomon was, that they might be brought along, because there is going to come a day when the Lord, if the Lord tarries, that we must pass on the baton to the next generation. I want to say that this portion from verse 10 to 13 is a wonderful portion of Scripture. And I couldn't help but read it softly, because I believe, dear saints and young people, that when we come into the presence of God and we recognize that we are in His presence, that there is a stillness that fills the place. And here was this old king. He looked back on his life's experiences. And I'm sure in a narrow second of time that he could see and he could understand that God had helped him along the way. And he looks and he says, the scripture says, David, bless the Lord. What an occupation, what a position to be in at the end of your life. I think Brother John had mentioned that, you know, I might grow up to be 50 years old, but I could remain a teenager spiritually. But I believe that here's a glimpse into the spiritual growth and depth of David. It says that he blessed the Lord. And that word bless means he spoke well of Jehovah. He did it before all the congregation. You know, sometimes as young people, we are intimidated by a crowd. And if you are like me, When I was a young person, you were afraid of your own voice publicly, because you didn't know if you were going to say the right things. You didn't know if you were going to dot the I's in a way that would be pleasing to the brethren, because, you know, we want to make sure that we're online with Scripture. And I think that's appropriate, but you know there's a pressure that's associated with that. You didn't know that if you rose to give thanks, that you would put the Father on the cross and mix things up because of fear. But you know, there is a wonderful thing about blessing God before all the congregation, that we might join in together. And you know what helped me as a young man when I started to understand that we're in it together? That I started to understand that, you know, the older brethren and sisters, they aren't waiting for me to walk out on the plank and fall off. That they are hoping that there would be some utterance from a young man that they would be able to give their amens with, to bless the great God, to bless the Lord Jesus. And so that encouraged me in a small way to begin to bless God before the congregation. But here it is, David. He said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness." And young people, I want us to get this thought here, that we might think that there are great things in this world. We might think that there are great men and women, but there is none greater than God. That David could look back over his life, and he could see that God had helped him, that the God of creation was the greatness. And he says that he is the power, the authority above all things. Oh, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. He says, "For all is yours, in heaven and in earth. Thine is the kingdom, O God, and thou art exalted as head above all." You know, sometimes we move around as believers, and it's almost as if we've lost. That, like, the Christian life is a burden to us. That it's like drudgery. Oh, man, I got to go to meeting again. Oh, I got to listen to this again. But, you know, it's because our hearts have not been occupied with David's God. That we're not seeing the greatness of God. That we don't recognize that the assembly is the habitation of God through the Spirit. And that when we come together, oh, how the Spirit of God delights to lift up in our gaze the Lord Jesus himself, God's King, that we might see that he is above all, that he is the one that God has exalted. And in a day to come, the worlds will know that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, we're talking about the kings of Judah and of Israel. If you go through the book of Daniel, you will be exposed to the kings of the Gentile nations. Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon the Great, the Persian Empire, the Greek, the Roman Empire, the great Roman Empire. But you know, you read in the book of Revelation, and it says the kingdoms of this world is become. And when I was a kid, I used to say, boy, this is bad grammar. But the kingdoms of this world is become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. What a glorious day. And here David had in his own heart, he had that vision of the greatness of God. He says, "Both riches and honor, they come of thee. Thou reignest over all. Thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, God." No. It says, "Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." This is a man who is at the end of his life. You know, I want to tell you this, young people. This is the desire that I have for my own heart. That if the Lord leaves me here and, you know, I get more gray hair, or, well, some gray hair on the side, and I, you know, and you get elderly, that there would be this spiritual depth and richness that is associated from walking with the Lord. You know, the Word of God says that Enoch walked with God and he was not. Here is David, who in the twilight of his years, he says, "Therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." And he says, "Lord, I want you to give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart." And that word perfect doesn't mean without sin. It means an upright heart. "And to keep thy commandments." And I want young people, I want you to hear the voice of the older brothers, the leaders, the sisters who are praying for you. That you would be given a perfect and upright heart. That you would keep the commandments of the Lord, his testimonies, the statutes of God, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which David had made provision. You know, the assembly is the Lord's. It began at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And so from that standpoint, it is not in our hands to build. Because when men build, there is decay. You look at this building, you're putting it together, a couple of years, you're going to have to redo the bathroom, you're going to have to redo the carpet, because that is the law of the nature of the first man. But God, what he brings in, new man, new creation, new birth, it will never decay or enter into ruin. But in type, in application, there is something for each of us to do to add to that which the Spirit of God has done. You know, what we need? We need young people that are going to help in camp work. We need young people that are going to assist in children's ministry. We need young people who are going to help with young people's meeting. We need young people that are going to help with kitchen work. You know, you look in the kitchen today, and they're mature sisters. Some of them are elderly. Well, they wouldn't want me to say that. Some of them are older. And they have been helping a long time. And you know, this is a young people's conference, so we wouldn't want you to be in the kitchen today. They want you to be here to hear the word of God. But when there are conferences, and when there are other activities, to be able to say, you know, Sister so-and-so has been doing this a long time. Let me help you. And perhaps you're not a cook, and we don't want you to be in the kitchen if you're not a cook. But perhaps you're someone that works well with little children. And you know, you don't become frustrated because of all of their energy and activity and their lack of focus. Oh, that you might be someone who could pick up some of the items that have been made for the provision of the furtherance of the testimony. And you might be a help for the honor and glory of the Lord. Verse 23. And I want you to picture this, young people. Here was David. He had stood up. He came. He rose from off his throne. A throne that had been his for many years. 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. And David alights off of his throne. He has come to the end of his course. His period of time is over. And it says here, then Solomon, he sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David, his father. What a picture. You know, this is a tremendous lesson in and of itself. You know, there's going to be many who are going to rise up off of the seats of responsibility that God has given to us. And there are those who God is going to want, young people, to sit down in those places of responsibility, necessary responsibility in the local assembly. He is going to want, as God himself is going to want, young people who today are going to make a commitment to serve God. and a commitment to him and to his people, having the belief, having the conviction that the things that we believe have come from God himself. Knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that the things that we read in this holy book, that it is the word of God. And that we don't have to rely upon the thoughts of men, the influences and the pullings and the pushings of men. But if I see it here, it is the word of God and I'm going to do it. And that we then sit down in the confidence that the same God who brought David along, who allowed David to be a man of victory, to allow David to be a king of great prosperity, who allowed David's reign to be a reign of honor and of glory, to also be a help for us. Please turn with me very quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Second Chronicles chapter 2 verse 1. And Solomon determined to build an house for the name of the Lord and an house for his kingdom. Chapter 3 verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Oren the Jebusite. Chapter 5, verse 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all the instruments put he in the treasuries of the house of God. Chapter 6. Then said Solomon, the Lord has said that he would dwell in the thick darkness, but I have built an house of habitation for thee, and a place for thy dwelling forever. And the king turned his face and blessed the whole congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who hath with his hands fulfilled that which he spoke with his mouth to my father David, saying, since the day that I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither choose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Verse 14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven or in the earth, who keepest covenant and showest mercy unto thy servants, who walk before thee with all their hearts. Verse 18. But will God really dwell with men on earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built. Chapter 7. Verse 1. Now when Solomon had ceased praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, and the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. You know, these verses that I've read before us, this is the doing, young people. You know, we can do a lot of hearing. There can be a lot of instruction that is given to us. And I think there was in a prayer this morning that we would not just be those who hear the word of God, but that we might be doers of the word. So Solomon had received this tremendous charge from David. Solomon had sat there and he saw his father full of age and ready to expire shortly thereafter. And he heard him bless God. And he heard him confess before the people the desire that he had that there would be a resting place for the ark of the covenant, the tabernacle of the covenant of God, and that there would be a footstool for the God of heaven. And Solomon took his place. Young men, we need to take our place. Young men, young sisters, as we develop, like young brothers, we need to take our place. But what does that mean? Is it simply that, you know, I come and I am properly attired, and I've got my Bible, and I have my hymn book, and I have my head covering, and I'm here. And you know, we check the register so we can note that you've made the meetings well. No, there's more to Christianity than just attendance. It is the reality of the life. Solomon now was energized to move. You know, I left out, it's in your readings, the scriptures that have to do with God coming to Solomon and asking him, tell me, what do you want? Ask of me, and I will give it to you. And it's interesting that Solomon, he asked in a way that was perhaps different than I would have asked. You know, the first thing we want to do is secure our borders. Lord, we want to have a nice house because, you know, there could be rain. And you know, if you're married, the wives don't like their hair to get wet. We don't like to have our feet in water. So take care of all of these natural things for me. But you know, Solomon, unlike Saul, who was a man that was after the order of nature, he had a spiritual desire. He said, give me wisdom and understanding. And the God says, because you didn't ask of me riches and honor, I'm going to give you all of your heart's desire, and I'm going to add prosperity to you. And it says that Solomon is known as the wisest man that ever lived. Now we know a greater than Solomon is here, the Lord himself. But Solomon, a man born of a man and a woman, the wisest man that ever lived. But Solomon didn't rest upon the fact that God had given him these things. Solomon was busy. And Solomon got busy about building a place for the habitation of God. And we see in short order, Solomon brings these things to fruition. You know, young people, God wants us to have goals. He wants us to have responsibility and jobs. And when I say jobs, I mean things that we set out to accomplish for him. You know, it's not a good thing. You know, sometimes you see young people, they'll say, you know, we want to start a newsletter for young people. And we want to build, this thing over here that we can do so-and-so. And they set out with this newsletter, and they get a couple of people to write something. And, well, you know, after about a month or two, newsletter's gone. That ever happened to you up here? Start to build something, and you get about halfway up, and you just quit. You see, Solomon knew that this was for God. And Solomon set out, young people, with a determination to do it, and to do it to the best of his ability. So it tells us that he completed this work. But I want to tell you what was missing. The building is just a building if God is not in it. You know, there are a lot of places that have steeples, and I'm not saying there's something wrong with a steeple. There are a lot of places that have a cross outside. I'm not saying anything wrong with having a cross outside. I think it's a religious symbol. The most important thing is the man that was on the cross, the center cross. But you know, if you have a building of believers and the Lord is not there, that's the problem. You see, Solomon had finished this temple. And he brought everything into this temple that David, his father, had prepared and left for him. All the gold and the silver and the trappings, they were all brought in. And I want to tell you that I believe Solomon was a man of faith, because he knew, he believed that God was going to fill this place. But Solomon had this question, because he knew that God, this God overall, blessed forever, that God lives in beyond the stratosphere, that he is the heaven of heavens cannot contain God. And he says, but will God really dwell with men on earth? What a question. What a question. And so he invites, if you would, God to come and to take up residence in the midst of his people. And they made the place ready. And you know, young people, we have said already that the assembly is the habitation of God through the Spirit. But you know, when we come together in a very unique way for our meetings, the first day of the week, to remember him and his death, the prayer meeting, the ministry, the Bible study, that the Lord is here. And I want to sensitize young people to this. It is amazing to me that we are in a meeting and the Lord is here and we are sending text messages. Perhaps even to someone else in the same meeting. Now, you know, perhaps my BlackBerry may go off and I might see, well, it's my job, it's an emergency, I mean, get up and I'll walk out. We understand those things happen. But to be engaged with something other than the one who is in the midst tells us where we are. I mentioned earlier, oh, I'm coming to hear what the Lord has to say, but I'm not bringing the word of God. As a sister, knowing that he would say that my glory should be veiled, I come to the meeting and my head is not covered. And he is in the midst. Here was David saying, thine is the greatness, the glory, and that we want to be occupied with you, Lord. And I've got my iPhone and I'm checking scores. I'm saying, hey, 10 more minutes and we can go do so and so. Or my head is not covered. Or my mind is always wandering. Because there isn't the discipline that has been developed each day of the week, being in relationship with him. He is here with us, young people. You know, and I'm sorry, but up here they call the prime ministers, right? You know, you get confused wherever you travel. Prime minister, president, premier. I am certain that if the prime minister came in this room, you would stand. I am certain if he or she were here speaking, or the president of the United States in our country came into a local gathering, or we knew he was going to be there at 6 o'clock tonight, that we would make sure that we got the right clothes. Got to make sure my hair is done. The ladies would make sure, because you know there's going to be pictures. And perhaps the president or the prime minister might engage me. You know, I bet you these aisle seats would be full for sure. You know, it seems that when we come, and of course the Lord is not literally here. I mean, he's in the midst. It's a sphere that the scripture speaks of. But you know, we would think that we would want to be around him. But perhaps what happens is we try to move toward the rear. You know, we always fill the rear in first, huh? We got to say, come down to the front. But here it was that Solomon had made everything ready. And Solomon wanted God to come. He wanted God to take up his residence amongst his people. And the word of God tells us that when Solomon had done all that he could do, when he had prayed and blessed God, it says that when Solomon had ceased praying, The fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offerings, the sacrifices, and the glory of Jehovah filled the house. When he had ceased praying, he was asking God to fulfill his promise of dwelling amongst the people of God. And the burnt offerings that had been presented to God, all these things that speak of the Lord Jesus, the one who voluntarily laid down his life for us. Oh, when the burnt offerings and the sacrifices were consumed, it says that the glory of Jehovah filled the house. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the Shekinah glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw the fire came down, it says, and how the glory of the Lord came upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground, upon the pavement, and they worshiped and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. I want to tell you, beloved young people, you are as much a part of the glory of God taking his place amongst his people when we come together as those who are older. It is what we bring in our hearts on those days, what we're going to see of Christ. You know, it's a lovely thing when we sit in a meeting, it could, in particular breaking of bread, where we come to be thankful and to remember what he has done for us and where he is. Oh, to have the sense of the Shekinah glory of God in our midst. And to know that that Shekinah glory that the priest could not stand in front of, that the Lord Jesus, through his death, through his burial and glorious resurrection, he has made a way for us to come and to stand in the very presence of God. You know, the glory of God is seen today, young people, in the face of Jesus Christ. My prayer, young people, is that as we've looked at Solomon, David's son, that this young man might encourage our hearts. That he was young, he was tender. He had a father that was, at the end of his reign. And he recognized that it was God who is the blessed God over all, who should be honored and praised, that he did it in the sight of all the congregation. And that he stepped aside and Solomon sat down upon the throne of Jehovah. That there, young people, is coming a time very quickly, much sooner than what you realize, when God is going to expect of you more than what you're giving today. And I want to say that what you are giving today, we praise the Lord for. We want to encourage you to spend more time with him, to get to know the Lord Jesus more, to enjoy him, to get a greater sense of the greatness of God and the preciousness of the Lord Jesus. And to remember always what he has done for us. And then when we come together, young people and those who are older, I want to tell you, it is a wonderful thing to have a sense of the Shekinah glory filling the place. And then to be able to look and know that we're in the very presence of God. And we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. May the Lord encourage our hearts. May he stimulate us spiritually. May we reprioritize certain things so that as the baton is passed on to us, that we might be ready to receive it and to maintain things for the Lord's glory. May this be so for his name's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, our Father, this afternoon, we are thankful to thee. We're thankful that thou hast given to us thy well-beloved Son. We thank thee that we can look to the right hand of God and we can see this man exalted far above the heavens. And we can see in him, in his face the glory of God. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for these lessons that we are seeing in the life of Solomon. We thank thee for the testimony of David, even amidst failure, that he was one who loved God with his heart. We thank thee that he was one who could bless his son and give way to the one who God had chosen, and that Solomon could sit upon that throne, and that he would do the work that God had given him to do. And Lord Jesus, that he could experience the glory of God filling the temple. Oh, it is our heart's desire that as we come together in meetings where the Lord Jesus is in the midst of his people, that we might see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We ask that thou wouldst help us even in our personal lives to have the Lord Jesus ever before us, so that as we come together in assembly, that we might have that which can be added to the blessings of God and to the magnification of his name. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.